Have you ever come home from a long day just to find out that that meat you needed for your recipe has totally slipped your mind the last time you went to the grocery store? Well, with the help of ButcherBox, you might never have to deal with that problem ever again. With ButcherBox, you get the convenience of having high-quality meat and seafood delivered straight to your door. Not to mention the peace of mind you get to feel knowing that it's 100% grass-fed, free-range, and crate-free. All humanely raised with no antibiotics or added hormones. Let ButcherBox help make your life even easier. No grocery store required. In addition to free shipping on every order, you get to curate your box plans, have access to member-exclusive deals, get recipe ideas and inspiration, as well as helpful tips. You really can't go wrong with ButcherBox. Sign up for ButcherBox today by going to butcherbox.com/morningcup and use the code morningcup at checkout and enjoy your choice of bone-in chicken thighs, top sirloins, or salmon in every box for an entire year. Plus, get $20 off. Again, that's butcherbox.com/morningcup and use the code morningcup. Are you looking for a way to save a little money? What about getting your subscriptions under control? If so, then I've got just the solution for you, Rocket Money. With the help of Rocket Money, I was able to find a subscription that I completely forgot to cancel before the free trial was up. I'm sure you've all been there, and Rocket Money can help me cancel it. Between streaming platforms, apps, delivery services, and even parenting and kids subscriptions, it's hard to keep track of exactly what you're spending and how much it all adds up to each and every month. Not to mention the fact that it seems every single day one of those subscriptions suddenly jumps up in price. Rocket Money alerts you when this happens so you're never caught unawares. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With them, I can see clearly what my monthly spending is and how it compares to the month before, making saving money and taking control over my finances so much easier. They'll also try to negotiate lowering your bills up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll even deal with customer service for you. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/morningcup. That's rocketmoney.com/morningcup. rocketmoney.com/morningcup.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
In a scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird
morning cup of murder.
We talk a lot about how dangerous desperation can be, but usually we are talking about how it drives a person to kill. But what happens when it is the police who are filled with that same level of desperation? On January 3rd, 2018, a woman's life was forever changed after over a decade behind bars for a crime that police were absolutely certain she committed. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. On July 8, 2001, the body of Duran Bailey was found next to a dumpster in Las Vegas, Nevada. The houseless man had been so brutalized that his eyes were swollen shut, his skull cracked, several teeth were knocked out, his carotid artery was cut, and his penis removed. Because Duran was not known to have many friends, he was never reported missing, and no one went searching for him prior to the grisly discovery. No one knew what happened to Duran Bailey, but just 10 days later, with rumors swirling that the killer had fled to Panaca, police arrested a young woman and identified her as their suspect. How exactly were they led to this conclusion? Well, Kirsten Blaze Lobato, just 18 years old at the time, grew up in Panaca, Nevada, about 3 hours away from Las Vegas. A few months before Duran was brutally murdered, Kirsten, while visiting friends in Vegas, was viciously attacked in a motel parking lot by a man who was trying to rape her. Carrying a small knife given to her for protection by her father, Kirsten slashed at the man's groin and managed to escape before things got any worse. When she drove away, she saw the man on the ground, moving and allegedly crying. Though most would see her actions as brave, For the next few weeks, Kirsten told friends and family about the near miss with a large black man who approached her at the Budget Suites Hotel on Boulder Highway, telling at least 9 individuals about the attack. On July 20th, 2001, nearly 2 weeks after Duran's murder, the Metro Police Department got a call from a Panaca resident telling them all about the story they had heard about Kirsten Labatta. Hearing from another resident that the young girl actually cut off the man's penis, detectives immediately got in their cruisers and drove straight to her family home. Telling Kirsten that they knew all about the attack, but wanted her firsthand account, Kirsten told them all about what happened that May and, very clearly, described the motel parking lot where it took place. Despite the incident taking place in the months before Duran Bailey's murder, in a totally different location, and the fact that Kirsten said she simply slashed at the man, leaving him alive, and did not beat him, police became convinced that the man who attacked her and the man they found dead near that dumpster were one and the same. Telling Kirsten that her attacker died, the young girl expressed her remorse and also made some comments that detectives at the time took as a confession. Not seeing the glaring differences between the two incidents, the teenager was charged with Duran's murder and taken into custody. In doing so, they failed to look into any other possible perpetrators, like the male friends of a woman who, on July 1st, just a week before his murder, Duran Bailey allegedly assaulted, raped, and threatened to kill if she told anyone about what happened. She lived in an apartment complex right next to the bank where his body was found, had reported the attack to police on July 5th, and told a number of male neighbors and friends who had an ongoing dispute with Duran about what happened, giving each of them a very clear motive. Focusing all resources on Kirsten Labatta, the young girl was taken to a trial where the entire case hinged not on any actual physical or forensic evidence, but on her supposed confession and the statements of those she told about the attack. The prosecution even acknowledged that she was in Panaca as of 11:30 a.m. on July 8th, but relying heavily on the medical examiner's time of death, claimed that Duran was killed a total of 24 hours before he was pronounced dead at 3:50 a.m. on July 9th. Placing his time of death at about 4 a.m. on July 8th, a time where Kirsten's alibi could not be corroborated by witnesses. Though many, including the prosecution, expected her to plead not guilty by reason of self-defense, Kirsten denied the crime entirely and refused a plea deal that would have seen her serve just 3 years in prison. Insisting that she was home in Panaca when the man was killed, an alibi confirmed by her family, her attorneys did whatever they could to try and discount the supposed confession that led to her arrest. The prosecution countered by calling Kirsten a known methamphetamine user and claimed she killed Duran Bailey during a dispute over sex and drugs. Despite her attorneys bringing in experts stating that she could not have killed this man based on the physical evidence, people whose testimony was suppressed by the judge, and comparing the case to the Salem witch trials, after an overnight deliberation, the jury found Kirsten Labatta guilty of first-degree murder, and she was sentenced to 40 to 100 years in prison. Unwilling to give up and knowing that she was innocent, Kirsten and her lawyers spent the next 2 years trying to get the conviction thrown out. They were successful on September 3rd, 2004, when the Supreme Court determined that her attorneys were unable to cross-examine a prosecution witness. Her case was remanded for a new trial, and on October 6, 2006, she was convicted of voluntary manslaughter and sentenced to 13 to 15 years in prison, lifetime supervision by the DOC as a dangerous criminal, and a lifetime registration as a sex offender. Though a drastic difference from her first conviction, Kirsten still refused to accept defeat and again filed for an appeal that was denied in October of 2009. That's around the time that Justice Denied got involved in the case and conducted an intensive investigation of their own. Finding new evidence, as well as more than 24 witnesses willing to testify to her innocence, in May of 2010, Kirsten filed a habeas corpus petition that included 79 grounds for a new trial. It was denied in August of 2011. She appealed, and back in February of that same year, She filed a post-conviction petition for DNA testing of the crime scene evidence that the Innocence Project agreed to pay for. This, too, was denied. She appealed again, but was dismissed by the Nevada Supreme Court. That's when a petition appeared online demanding the Nevada courts test the evidence in Kirsten's case, which they claimed would, once and for all, prove her innocence. Then, in 2014, the judge in both of her trials, Judge Vega, after being charged with misconduct and publicly reprimanded by the Nevada Commission on Judicial Discipline, chose not to run for re-election and stepped down from the bench in 2015. This set the ball back in motion, and on November 23, 2016, the Nevada Supreme Court remanded 27 of her grounds to the district court, 25 of which were based on new evidence. With a new judge presiding over the case and an entomologist concluding that the time of death was indeed during a time where Kirsten had a solid alibi, her habeas corpus petition was granted and her conviction was vacated. A new trial was ordered based on the new forensic evidence, but on December 29, 2017, all of the charges were dismissed. She walked out of prison on January 3, 2018, a free woman after 16 years behind bars. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on January 4th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.